Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Linda.
How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in.
Oh, it's no problem at all, really.
Our listeners, I know, are very excited that you're coming for a Kanakapila Kako tonight with Dennis and David Kamakani, and kind of like a mini sons with the son of a son. I just feel so privileged to have you on the phone. I'm just so much admire you.
Well, I'm honored to be on the phone talking to Kauai.
Yeah. I would like to ask you a few questions, and then I'd just like you to speak about your Hawaiian Culture Foundation, your Hawaiian Legacy Foundation, your mission, and about the Sons of Hawaii. How did you start your journey in music?
Well, it all started when I was a little boy in my teens, because my brother had found a ukulele on the bus. He's a bus driver. And so whenever they went to work, I'd go and get the ukulele and sit next to the radio and play. And just play whatever I hear music, I just play, get the feeling of what music's all about. And that's how I started. And then my second brother, eldest brother, he plays and sings Hawaiian music. So I just ask him, sort of guide me along the way. I like to play whatever he's done. And as time went by, I just love just playing music that that I hear on the radio. And I love the Spanish music because I love the, you know, the rhythm sections. Mm-hmm. It's really, really something that touched my heart, and I just love playing because, you know, it's bright, and I just love doing that. And my father would take me to a jam session, and what I love about that was the musicians would call me on stage, and I'll just strum my ukulele and play, and people throw money on stage, and they pick it up and put it in my pocket, and I tell my dad I like this. That was a start.
Uh-huh.
And my father would take me every weekend there, Fridays and Saturdays. It was called Charlie's Cab. And the drivers would, you know, play music in the evening, Fridays and Saturdays. It was wonderful. A lot of people. And so I enjoyed that. Then I met a man there. His name was Shoei Kemi. And he plays ukulele, too. And he comes from Kakahako. And so he and I talked, and we decided to get together. So he and I would, you know, rehearse in Kakahako. And as time went by, then I was attending Barrington School. This policeman, you know, he plays at the Barefoot Bar, the Queen Surf. You know, I can't think of his name at the moment. But he came to the school and asked me if I would consider playing for the police benefit show at McKinley High School Auditorium. I said, I'll ask my friend. So we went there, and we had five encores playing there. And from then on, I didn't have to worry about any problem with getting a ticket on my car, because I'd go to a police station and the girls know that we perform for them, so the girls would get over here and give me a piece of paper. And so we're fortunate then, and it's good to play. And I had a feeling of playing. As time went by, he and I decided, well, maybe we should go. He told me, let's go to Chicago. And I went to Chicago. It was so cold, I came back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know that. But then again, when he came back, and we went to join the musical group of Ray Kinney, and we went on a tour. And I went on a tour all the way, reached San Francisco, played there, played San Diego, Seattle, Portland, and all the way in to North Dakota and all those areas. And we came to an area called, it was close to Longmont, Colorado. And we played there. It was so cold. It was just white. Just a building there. I'm playing my ukulele, and all of a sudden my nails all started snapping off. And I told the head of the group, I said, I'm sorry, but I'm leaving. I can't play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just went all the way to Denver and caught the plane and come back to Hawaii. It was better. It was raining here, but I'm glad. So that was part of my avenue that I'd taken. And then I sort of stepped aside from it. And then again, 57, I went and played. I asked if I could play with her, Honani Kaharivai, at the top of the aisle of the Bilbo Hotel. She said, come along. So I just played my ukulele there with all the musicians, and they had singers and dancers. So it was a good show. I enjoyed it. And what happened is that after our show at the Biltmore, everybody would go to the Queen's Surf. And that's where the music lasts all night, sort of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all sit around and everybody talks. And everybody go up and listen to the group play music and come down and listen to the other group play music. And so we musicians, they call us and we get up there and sing whatever we want to. But then again, one fellow says, Eddie, want to go to the party? I said, where? He said, oh, we're going to go to Gabby Painui's house. So we went to Waimanalo. I saw a whole lot of people there. And it was just music. Everybody just get up and play and sing and do whatever they want. And I watched Gabby singing and playing his instrument and all the boys. I thought it was really interesting. But there was Hawaiian music. And as time went by, I went, well, I was teaching ukulele in Waikiki, and so I was driving from one side, on the other side of the island, all the way to Kailua side, all the way to Waimanalo way to go to Waikiki. And so I always stopped by and say hello to two sisters, and they told me to come in. And when I went in, she said, guess who's here? I said, who? She says, Gabby Painui. He's not feeling well, so he couldn't swallow his food. So I went out and said hello to Gabby. And Gabby said, you got a ukulele? I said, yeah. He said, bring it. And when I brought it, he played the ukulele. I said, now, this is the most beautiful Hawaiian really rhythm that I've heard. You know, because my father had asked me to play Hawaiian music. I told my father it was too simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wasn't interested. But when I heard Gabby start playing the rhythm, I said, now I know why my father asked me.
Uh-huh.
See, my father comes from Waipio Valley, and that's where Hawaiians are. He was born there, so he heard all that music. And so I played with Gabby, and we played 1, 2, 3 weeks together. And the bass player came by, and we played, and he started singing with Gabby. Then we rehearsed. We got another steel player to join the group, a young man, and his name is Dave Rogers. And he joined the group. We asked the father if he could come along. The father said, okay. We started the Sons of Hawaii group. Then he told me, I said, well, Gabby told me, he says, Eddie, you run the business this year. And Marshall, the bass player, you run the business next year. And I'll run the business the third year. And Marshall tells me he's not ever going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, so what we did was the steel player told me, well, let's go to this place, this bar and restaurant. So I went there with him, and we sat on a bar stool, and the bartender just put two beers right in front, because that's what my steel player likes, you know. And I just sat there and I watched that. So then he says, how's everything? And he told him, oh, we just got through playing, getting our group together and playing music, and we're going to go and do something. He said, well, the Puka Puka Hotel group is here at this Sandbox restaurant, you know, Sand Island Road.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he said, they're going to go to Waikiki at the Queen Surf. So, you guys want a job? I'll call the manager and you guys can talk it over. So, that's how we got our first job. I went to the musicians union, drew up a contract, and they signed it, and they said we started there. But all night, I was in. But suddenly, it's something that struck me that was so funny. All night we performed there, I wasn't singing in those days. I was just playing my ukulele solo in between.
Mm.
And play solo with Gabby. You know, we rotate back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And all night I hear Gabby, because people screaming at him to sing this song and that song.
Uh-huh.
And all night I hear him telling the people, oh, shut up. I said, now is this Hawaiian music? I can't believe it. But I found it interesting because everybody were happy.
Yes.
And he does that. And he sings the songs they love. And he dances the hula. And that's what it was all about. The first night there wasn't as crowded. But from the second night on, it was just crowded all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People just they don't let us Gabby to leave on the stage. They just keep on screaming. So we always play over an hour overtime, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because of the people. And, you know, they love coming. But that was the start of Hawaiian music that I saw that was interesting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And from that gathering, I met a man who was an airline pilot. So he was one of the groups. He and his friends, he called me over and we talked. He said, "I notice you're not singing." I said, "That's right. I just play. I enjoy what I'm doing." So he says, "Here's my number. Why don't you meet me tomorrow?" So I met him. He said, "Come, I'll take you to a house." And I saw my steel plane. We went there with him. And that's where I met Mary Carpenter Pukui, my teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she, I talked to her. We had dinner, and she didn't say yes or no. But when we were time to leave, we all went by the doorway, and she was standing there, and she looked at me, and she said, "You can come." So I was very fortunate that I had a chance to have dinner there with her, and she told me to come and see her.
Mm-hmm.
So from then on, I set my course on what I'm going to do. So anyway, as playing with Gabby and the boys, I found one thing that was interesting, because I was interested in Hawaiian music because Gabby is singing and Joe is singing. So I went to see my friend, Iulani Luahine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was at an area where she was sort of like the keeper.
Right.
Yeah. And so I woke her up early in the morning, 7 o'clock. She bloodshot eyes, she looked at me, she said, "Eddie?" I said, "Iulani, I heard a beautiful song by an elderly woman singing." And I started humming to her. And she says, "Nani valeka mahin." I said, "Well, there's a bridge to this song," and I hummed to her. And she said, "Go see Tutu," meaning my Kabana Pukui.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I was driving out of the car at the mausoleum, and I headed straight. Something directed me to the Bishop Museum, because I passed the prayer mm-hmm. of Kalakaua, mm-hmm. the Kalani right there. So I went to the Bishop Museum early in the morning, and I walked in. There was nobody around. So I walked upstairs and I went to the library. And this woman, I knocked, and the woman came. I opened the door and she looked at me. It was a Caucasian woman. And I mentioned my teacher, Kavena's name. And she says, "Come in." And I went in. She said, "The index file is right there." Now I opened the index file, and here's this card that comes right up to me. It was Queen Liliuokalani. And I picked the card and I gave it to her, and she said, "Go and sit there in the back, and here's the gloves. You put it on." She came back with a batch of things, wrapped up like a paper, and tied with a string. When I opened it, I couldn't believe it. I found the music manuscript of Queen Liliuokalani. And when I grabbed a batch of it and just turned the page, and here was the song titled Tutu, what Iulani had told me to go and see Tutu. And when I signed it, when I looked at the music, there was a song that I was looking for. It was titled Tutu. And yet it sounds, you know, that's Tutu. But Iulani told me, "Nani vale ekamahina. Nani vale ekamahina." It's the first, it's the same. That set my course. Finding the music of Queen Liliuokalani set my course into Hawaiian music. So I just took it, and I worked with Gabby and the boys. And those days I wasn't singing, but I had my teachers to guide me on.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Gabby, I said, "This is a beautiful song." And he told me, "If you think it's beautiful, sing it." Now I was in trouble. But he started me on my thinking about singing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my teachers, and I met Kavena, and I talked to Kavena, and I went to see Pilar Ibaki, you know, and she tells me, "Now you do this, you know, phrase it this way and phrase it that way. And she said one thing. All, you know, I can't think of the term right now, but she said, you always slur. And she used the word slur. Now, I go, I said, in what way? She said, like this here, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, not like, oh, yeah, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She said, now you do this. I said, oh, I see. Now, if you follow that, it's the same. You phrase it that way. I said, and now I know when I heard my father and mother, when they spoke the language, when I was sleeping, little boy, I always heard them talk in a sweet sound of Hawaiian language.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to myself, now I know how to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
In music, with Kaivana's guidance and Pilai Paki, I was able to do what I wanted to do. Then along the way, Kaivana asks me, as we did something in the 1970, going to Kau, where she comes from, where she was born and raised. She said, I want to show you the area of Kau where I was born and raised and by my grandmother. And she took us down. I had to go and get a jeep. And I took my wife with me. We went with her. And her secretary came along. And we're on a jeep. I'm driving. And I'm telling you, I look at the place and I didn't want to go. You know, because it's just bumpy, you know, mm-hmm. boxes and all that going down. And she said, stop the car. So I stopped and she looked at us. There was a small little hill. And she started chanting. And she said, well, that's where one of my childhood friends live. And she chanted and said, let me go. Three times we did that, going down, all the way down to Waikapuna, Puyula, Kalai, Porahimbo. And there was Kavana, and then she said, all right, now. And my wife said, why don't we write a song about our trip? So they two got together, Kavana and my wife, Myrna. And they started talking and writing. And so Kavana just did the Hawaiian as we went by. You know, and having lunch and dinner, whatever, with friends. And then she said, you write the music. So that's how we did the Jeep song.
Oh.
You know. So I took Myrna home to Utah, so I had that moment in time to consider, you know, which way the route to take.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came back, and then I went to her, and I started singing a song for her. She said, all right. That's all she said to me. All right. So I said, okay. But that's at my cross with Kaivana. You know, and went on to do other things, and I went with my, you know, my research work. I always talked to her. She always told me, come.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I want to meet your wife. I said, okay. So the next time I had my findings, so I called her, can I come and see her? And she said, bring your wife. So when I brought my wife, I showed her what my findings were, and she said, oh, Eddie. And she laughed and all that, you know. We talked while that. My wife's sitting down and taking notes, so we discussed my findings with her. And at the end, my wife kissed her farewell. Then I leaned over her and I kissed her farewell, and she said, Eddie? I said, yes. She said, if you have any pilikia with your wife, Myrna, you're wrong. In other words, if I had any
mm-hmm.
problem,
mm-hmm.
I was wrong. I looked at her, I didn't know what to say. I thought, by golly, what happened? You know?
Uh-huh.
And she just looked at me, little stern like, and I said, uh-oh. Boy, she must know something. Oh, she's way ahead of time. So, but I found out one thing she said to me when I was leaving. In all the things you've been doing in your lifetime, Eddie, your wife, Myrna, will be helping you. Today, she runs my business.
Mm-hmm.
She does everything. I don't do a thing. I just go and take the boys with me and do whatever needs to be done. And that's the way it is.
How wonderful.
Yes.
Oh.
So that's how we started. Uh-huh. Me and with Pilahi, you know, I called her. I said, Pilahi, I said, I want to ask you something. She said, what is it? I said, well, you're from Maui. She said, yes. I said, my friend You know, his name is Louis Kalahui. And we always go there. There are six of us guys, and sometimes with the wives too. And Louis drives the first car. We always go with 2-3 cars. We go to Lahaina, Maui. We visit there because one of the boys, oh, that's where he comes from. So we go there, and we stop by this one area, and his place is at Launipoko. And this is where the burnt sugar cane ends up, from the mill to the flumes and up there. And he stands there for a while, and it gets pretty smelly. So my friend always gets out of his car, and he says, Aloha e kelemea wifa. You know, I said, what is that? Kelemea wifa. He says, it's the breath of love. And all the women screaming because they can't stand the smell. And they're telling him, get in the car and drive. And he laughs. So I said, I like that. The breath of love? He said, yeah. So I came back and I called Pilahi Paki. I said, Pilahi, I want to ask you, can I write something about this area in Lahaina? Because she told me she comes from that area. I said, there's a smelly place. She said, I know where it is. You know. I said, can I write a song about that? She laughed over the phone. She said, I'll meet you for lunch. And we sat in the restaurant for 2 hours, and we wrote the song, Kelemea Wifa. She said, here, you write the music. So when I wrote it and I sang it to her, she just laughed. So it's about the sweet scent of that beautiful area. That's what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But by God, everybody just drives fast when they come to that area. So my friend called it the breath of love. I love it.
That's a I didn't know that was a translation. What a beautiful title.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. With Pilahi Paki, you know.
Uh-huh.
Then what she did at the university, and when someone asked about what is aloha, and nobody, it's a group of people, you know, up on stage discussing that area, but someone in the audience asked the group, can you explain what aloha is? And no one on stage could say something. But this was in the advertiser front page when I saw that. It was Pilahi that stood up and told the people what aloha is. And everybody applauded her. And, you know, everybody ran to her because they wanted to thank her and want to know more about the language. And that's what I saw. And when I met Pilahi, I said, by golly, now, you know, we can do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat down and we talked. And then she said, you read the music? I said, no problem. I just wanted your feelings and your thoughts. So when she wrote it, I said, by golly, this is really something. So it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to do with her. So what we had, we did 2 verses. The first verse, she explained what a law is. You know, but the second verse is a continue on, which she never did translate that. She just told me. She said to me, you're right. It's like, Kavana, you're right. There was Pilahi Paki. And then my wife and I wrote some English things about, you know, little raindrops, you know, falling softly,
mm-hmm.
you know, little raindrops from the sea, you know. And so my wife and I wrote those pieces of lyrics that I called Pilahi.
Mm-hmm.
I said, can I do this in Hawaiian? I said, what would you call it? She said, oh, Makaua. I said, but it's teardrop. Makaua, she said. And she went through the whole thing when I gave her the piece of paper. She said, here, it's done now, sing it. So maybe I'll sing that song too. It's called Makaua. Little raindrop.
That's a beautiful song. I love that song.
But,
yeah.
Well, I recorded it recently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about Sam Lea.
Well, Kavana and I were in Kau on a big island. I said, Kavana, I heard about a great composer, a songwriter of Waipio. She said, Lea. I said, I'd like to meet him. I'd like to find out some things about know what I want to know. And she says, oh, I said, I'm going to go and find him, so you just tell me where he lives. So she told me, Cuckoo Highly. You go down this small road as you go up there, or you need to come to Cuckoo Highly. There's a store there. Right across the store is the social hall, and right next to the social hall is where Emily lives. I said, okay. She said, when you going? I said, oh, next week, maybe in 10 days. And so I went there. And it seems like Sam Leah was waiting for me when I got there. Because I walk up and he just told me, no. You know, he had a pad with him. And so I sat next to him. I had my instrument. So I talked to him about some of the things I wanted to know about music. And Sam, because Kavanaugh told me he's the last of the true Hawaiian poets.
Mm.
The last one, Eddie. So that's why I wanted to find out some things from him. So on my first visit, he and I would discuss things, and he just writes it down on the pad and tear the pages off and give it to me. He said, this is for you.
Mm.
And he tells me, this is for you. I said, well, and I said, he said, you come again. So he always encouraged me to come. So I stayed there, you know, for a day, and then I fly back here. I go there on the Sundays because I play music here.
Mm-hmm.
So every week I go there, and he always and tell me, come again, you come, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was 92 years old when I met him.
Oh, my goodness.
And he shared. Uh-huh. And he told me stories. He said, you know, I was with my boys in 1890, whatever the year was, 1881 or something in that area, 18 or something. Anyway, he said, I'm playing with the boys in the social hall. And all of a sudden, Prince Kuhil walks in, and he just ran in, sat down before we can stand up, you know, to greet him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was surprised to see him there. So he came to visit. And so he said, I wrote a song for him. He titled it, Kailele Waki Mikona. The prince will be going to Washington, D.C. to represent Hawaii as the first delegate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he write it down, he tell me, here, you sing. He always encouraged me, you sing.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, I said, Sam, tell me, what song you like to hear yourself sing. He said, well, I wrote this song because I will always feel that my spirit will flow in the streams of Waipio.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he was born.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I love that. He said, mm-hmm. I wrote a piece of paper to me, here, Eddie. You know, he said, you sing. I said, I like you to sing, but anyway, we went from there on, and I loved going there to see him because he was my mentor there. He always guided me along the way, always encourages me.
Mm-hmm.
Sing it, write it. So I said, well, I want to write a song about my wife and I, my love song. He said, well, I have one too. So I said, you too? He said, yes, me and my wife. I said, well, I met my wife by the sea, the ocean. As we look at the sunset, it's beautiful. In Lahaina, I said, you know. He said, well, my wife and I, we go down to the ocean side because it's beautiful there. And that's where I kissed my wife. You know, I said, what's the name of the song? She said, My Flower by the Sea. I said, oh. I said, and he goes, and he looked at me, and he started chanting. I said, I like that. He said, you're right. I said, okay. So I did my version. I go to him. I play my version. He said, nice. You sing for your wife, he told me.
Mm.
I said, oh, you sing for your wife? Yes. But he chants. He's chanting. He's, oh, hey, I'll really know where. Hey, dahina, kukakai. See, but you see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. So I come home and I just think about what I'm going to do. And I go back to him and I says, okay, I want to sing this song, the music to this melody line, you know, mine to the lyrics. And when I sing, he said, good, you sing for your wife. And that's the way it was. He always encouraged me, do it. Most of all, he always say, they all say this to me, do it for the children, Daddy,
mm-hmm.
Who will live forever.
Right.
Cabena told me that, Eli told me that. Do it, do it. That's how they set my course for me and all the things I wanted to do. And the last work I did with my assembly and my mentor and teacher, when he told me, he says, I went to Honolulu to visit. I said, I wanted to do a song about the flower of this island, Oahu, you know, which is the Ilima.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, well, I come there and visit Mahanai's son at his place out at Hawaii Kai. And I was coming to visit them and stay with them for a while, a couple of days, and then I go home, back to Waipio. So I said, yeah, what do you do out there at home? I said, where? What? He said, Hawaii Kai. So he stayed with his Hanai son and wife and kids. But they told me he would go out early in the morning, look up in the mountain, the valley, and start writing. You know? And then he just gave the music to them. With their song was titled Hawaii Kai. So that's the way he was. He always sees things and he writes.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I want to write a song about the flower of the size of Ilima. So he told me a story. He said, when I visited my son while I was going home, I caught the plane, and when the plane lift up and turned left, I looked out in the window, and I could see the Ilima flower in full bloom and Mount Kahala. And he described everything, the birds flying above and all that. And he says, here, you're right. He always tells me that. You're right.
Mm.
So that's my last music with him, my teacher, Sam Lea, late night. Eli always told me, do it, for there will be no more. And Carmen Apocalypse always tells me, do it for the children, Eddie, for it would live forever.
Mm.
I'm glad I had my teachers and my mentor to sort of guide me along my way. So that's how I got started into Hawaiian things, all because of my friend introduced me to them. Kurt Johnson, he was a national guard pilot, and his mother knew Kavanaugh Pukui, so he could introduce me to Kavanaugh and have dinner with her. He introduced me to Pilahi at his home in Kaneohe, and Pilahi told me, what have you done? And I showed her the manuscripts that I found at the Mission Museum, and she told me, you ask me any question now till tomorrow morning. And that set my course into all the things I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were very generous and very caring of the children's needs. So I was fortunate. So that's what I do. I just do it for the children. Now I'm going to do nursery rhymes. So we just compiling things together, my wife and I, for children.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important that I do something that you can be put for them. So that's where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we wrote a song called It's a Weed.
Oh.
My wife and I, It's a Weed.
Uh-huh.
And It's a Weed, it's weeds. So
well, it's just,
that'll be fun, you know. It's a weed indeed. So then my wife said, well, another verse. I said, okay, what'll it be? She said, we went to the plant show. I said, okay. So I said, we went to the plant show today. They thought we just in a way, but when all was said and done, we had the weed that won. And I said, I like that. So we just, I called Pilahi. I said, Pilahi, we have time? My wife and I'm going to talk with you. So we talked to her about, you know, the weed. And she goes, oh, she just laughed. She said, you go ahead and sing it. It sounds good. But now I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do it in Hawaiian also, so the children can play the ukulele and they can dance the hula and sing the song, The Weed. You know.
Do you know what songs you're going to be bringing tonight for Ekhane Kapila Kako?
Oh, I'm going to do, with Kapila Hai, and then I think I do Kelemea Wifa. And we might, I might consider doing the Makau or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, the weed?
Right.
Well, not the weed, but the raindrops.
The raindrops, yes.
Yes, and then and talk about them.
Uh-huh.
The song.
Mm-hmm.
And then
stories behind the songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Kavana, I'll talk about the Jeep song as we went there with her. And what she said to me, she always said, do it, do it. And mm-hmm. it's out there. And so I'm very fortunate to be guided by them. And Sam Lear told me what to do. Sing it, sing it. So I'm going to do Kelemea Wifa. Things that come to mind with Kavana and with Sam Lear.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell the story.
Well, we're really excited that you're coming. I'm just so in awe of everything that you've done to bring back the Hawaiian culture and language and into the music. I know without you systematically seeking out the sources and origins of this old music, we wouldn't have what we have today. And I know that they use your music in the schools now to help the children remember their roots and their heritage. And I'm so grateful for all your work. And
well, I'm so fortunate too, because, you know, in Kauai, because you had some great composers there. You know, you had Alohikea, Maka, because that's how I did the film, you know,
mm-hmm.
because of them. But most of all, I found this Hanai son here in Hawaii. Alohikea is Hanai son here, and one of his students, you know, which was, you know, so fortunate that I had met them and interviewed them. And I went there to film, and families would come and talk about, you know, their families, you know. So that was really nice. So that's when I did the film of the area. So I will finish that area and the film of that area. So I'm working on it now. Plus, I'm working on Kalau Papa. I have so many things going on at one time. Half of the time, I'm talking to myself.
Mm.
But that's what it's all about
mm-hmm.
in this work, you know. But I can always remember the people at, you know, Hanalei. You know, Howley Pete and his boys playing music at the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
all that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and going down to interview the people and family of Jacob Maka,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
he was a choir leader at the church and, you know, a songwriter,
mm-hmm.
and the daughter and the granddaughter, they all led the choir there. It was wonderful. And I wanted to tell the story, so I was very fortunate the time was right.
I love that DVD, Words, Earth, and Aloha.
Oh, yes.
And your Hawaiian Legacy Foundation. If our listeners would like to find out more about your work and the mission that your journey is about, they can go to HawaiianLegacyFoundation.com.
Yes.
And I love every DVD that you put out. I watch them over and over, and just so grateful for all your work, Eddie.
Thank you, Linda. I know that you
need to get ready to go to the airport.
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking all this time with us, and thank you for coming to Kauai. We're all looking forward to seeing you tonight, and have a safe trip. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we close?
Oh, I just give my aloha to everyone, and I'll see them this evening.
Thank you so much, Eddie.
Aloha.
Aloha.